If you want to predict the outcome of this year's legislative session, or any session for that matter, you pretty much have three options. You can pull out your dartboard, you can call the psychic hotline, or you can cheat and consult the people who actually shape the session. Hi, I'm John Schwanis, and on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, we're going to go with option three. We're turning to the General Assembly's four caucus leaders, the legislature's highest ranking decision makers. So don't go away. Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Foundation's $1 billion Discovery Park District, where the Convergence Center is merging companies, investors, and entrepreneurs with Purdue innovators to address global challenges and advance life-changing technologies. More at discoveryparkdistrict.com.
And there's lots to talk about, so let's get right to it. We welcome to this table, back to this table, for some cases, many times welcome back to the table, the General Assembly's four caucus leaders, House Speaker Brian Bosma, an Indianapolis Republican, House Minority Leader Phil Giaquinta, a Fort Wayne Democrat, Senate President Pro Tem Roderick Bray, a Martinsville Republican, and Senate Minority Leader Tim Lannon, an Anderson Democrat. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
I was joking and saying some of you, I've said those words more than others.
Times.
And, well, here's a guy who's been around 34 years.
Right.
Since I think I covered you when I was writing for my kindergarten news paper.
Not quite.
Not quite. In 86, I graduated from college that year. But that's, we'll leave that aside, too. You're retiring.
Yes.
What's
yeah.
at work here?
So 34 years is a long time, 12 as speaker, 26 as an elected caucus leader. So I said I wasn't going to draw the maps again, as I did 10 years ago, and it'll be the new person's opportunity to do that, create their checklist as to what they think ought to happen for Indiana. Our team has selected Todd Houston to fill the role, and he'll be sworn in as speaker here before the session.
Which is kind of an interesting twist, this notion of a speaker designate
right.
in wait. He'd be the speaker in waiting or something, I guess.
Yeah, but, that's not in the rule book, but we decided to, and of course I conferred with Phil to be sure that they were comfortable with this program as well, to have a good transition and not
is
just
it making
for
sense
chamber.
So far now, a couple
it,
weeks
actually
into
it's working out very well.
Sure.
Well,
congrats. He's doing a lot of interviews I don't want to do, apparently.
So. We won't go there, but you know, it's important, certainly. I think people often underestimate the role that you four and the people who've sat in those chairs before you play. It's not just, I know you know this, it's not all just the joy of coming and having a cup of coffee and being under the lights. It's the stuff that we oftentimes don't see. Are you going to miss this guy? And what will his absence and what has his sort of year-long departure now or session-long departure, how is that affecting the interplay, do you think, this session so far?
Well, it's sort of our version of The Apprentice. With this session and...
Who's Donald Trump?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, in the speaker we were talking the other night that, because he didn't say this a couple minutes ago regarding his dad's service in the legislature. I think you may have interned or worked at the legislature as well. So when you count up the years, it's a long time, Brian.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to miss it. You'll probably be back on occasion, maybe not as often as some that we see because you're going to be very busy. And I've told the speaker this, and I've told this publicly too, that when you're new at this, you need some advice every now and then, and sometimes you go to the opposite side for some advice on some things that I know that he's had to deal with, that I've had to deal with in my caucus, and I've always appreciated that.
Because now that you've had that seasoned tenure of 1 year in that role.
Right,
that,
right.
That,
I assume
you've really come a long way since last year. I remember when we sat down a year ago, you brought all these briefing notes and documents. I don't see a single note.
Yeah. So, ironically, I served with Phil's father, who served in the House, and I served with Rod's father, who served both in the House and the Senate. And it's been a pleasure.
Tim, what can you throw in there? You got any
Well,
cousins?
Tim, I've served with here in this role the longest. We've been...
Came in 97, so I've been the leader of the Senate Democrats since 2013, and you're right, John. There's a lot of things the leaders do that people don't really see, but we've done it, I think, in a transparent way in terms of our decisions that we've made and in the best interest of the General Assembly. And I've always found Brian a person who's been very, very easy to work with and very fair. So he's been a great leader for the state of Indiana.
consider this
we don't have. My joke is everybody says nice things about you when you.
Well, say right? might be the last nice thing I say in the program.
Tim, you just mentioned the things that leaders do that people see, or
right,
you know.
Right.
What I would argue is oftentimes it's the bills or proposals or
right.
machinations that never get seen
right.
are sometimes the greatest victories.
That's true.
In terms of keeping the ship of state. Off the shoals.
Right.
Boy, I'm going
right.
to get off that metaphor here. Yeah. Would you agree with that? Yet another veteran with, if
yeah,
we cut the tree in half,
experience.
We'd see one ring of leadership experience there.
Right. No, I completely agree with that. And I think a lot of the work that's done, if you do it right, is done actually in the summer or the fall before session ever begins to make sure that the ideas that are going to come forward to the top are polished and make sure that the ones that aren't ready kind of stay down there and continue to get worked on before they get to the forefront and have to be voted on the floor. And that's a lot of that work can be done.
And people oftentimes, I mean, you certainly pay attention to the interim studies and media do, but a lot of people think, well, we'll just, you know, hibernate now and be done. But that's
right.
really not the way.
No, in fact, that's where the lion's share of the work is actually done.
Yes.
Well, if you think I look more bleary-eyed even than normal, it's because for public broadcasting, we spent 3 days straight at the State House interviewing as many of you as we were willing to come and do interviews. I'm not going to call anybody out.
Our deepest condolences.
A lot of people did. You know, it was really good. I thought it would actually be tiring, and it was. But what was invigorating, and this may sound hokey, but it's true, is it reminded me that 150 people, citizen legislators, represent constituents who have real concerns, and that things do tend to, in many cases, issues bubble up.
Oh, absolutely.
And so we were letting them talk about their passions, and I was reminded that there are 150 passionate people about different things, which it gets back to this notion about leadership. How do you herd that? What's the sign on your desk, by the way?
Herding cats since 2001. Yeah. Speaker of the House, herding cats since 2001.
Are you going to bequeath that to
I don't know. I may take that one. I like it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's not state property, is it?
So, you know, I'm not going to exactly answer your question, but I do want to say something.
It's not the first time someone moves on.
That's right. Well, just people have been talking a lot about legacy and all this, so I've done a lot of reflecting, and the four people at this table and their predecessors spend a lot of time together, and you know, you just see the public debate portion of it, but we solve a lot of problems together. We work through a lot of personnel issues together. Right. Citizens of the state are really well served. And when we see the craziness that takes place out in Washington, D.C., some people just presume it's like that in Indiana and in the legislature. It's not in any way.
Well,
not that we don't disagree. We do.
Right.
But we do so as ladies and gentlemen and try to work through and find what's best for the state.
All right. So back to my question. So when you say your proposals, our caucus proposals and the agenda,
right.
you know, we're going to do with this with health care costs. We're going to try to do this mm-hmm. with education, maybe a few other things in the margin. But as I was reminded over the past 3 days, that doesn't account for the. Again, limited time. I want to know what's the art of the.
When people ask, I say, you know, first of all, I've got great staff, and together we will come up with proposals like our agenda, and then I take them to our larger leadership team, three or four very trusted leaders of our caucus, and we massage them, change them. You know, some say that's a terrible idea, and we take it off. And then we'll take it to our larger leadership group of about 15 people, and then out to the entire caucus. And everyone's caucus operates differently, and none of the leaders that I'm aware of at this table are like this, but there have been leaders in the past that go into their caucus and say, here's what we're doing, here's how we're doing it. And that's not the way my team.
Now, who are some of those people? You have time. You're leaving. What are you making?
You have to read the book. Pat Bauer had a real reputation for that.
You're funny. He said the same about you yesterday.
Yeah, probably. I really feel good about the way we've allowed even the very newest people to have input and say and to bring their ideas. And sometimes they're fantastic. Not always. But sometimes you need a fresh perspective, a fresh look, and you're used to looking at something one way, and then somebody comes in and says, hey, you know what? What about this? You go, wow, excellent, thank you.
He's a supermajority. That makes you a supermajority, if that's even a word. Do you get the sense that, I know he's including people in his own caucus in terms of consensus building. Do you get the same sense of warmth and love for, in terms of involvement and participation?
Within my caucus?
No,
or from his
caucus? You don't get it there, but from him, I mean.
No. I believe the speaker has always emphasized to his folks to try to get a Democrat on the bill, work as closely as we can. I mean, look, we all want the bills to hit the floor as perfectly as possible with as much support as possible. Not going to always happen, obviously. We're going to have second reading amendments, particularly in a short session where you can't always meet, a committee can't meet again. So that's where the second reading process comes in.
We saw 24 right. bills coming out of, yeah. Or heard, I should, they right. didn't all move yeah. advantage. Right. But.
And obviously they're not as complicated in a short session as they are in a long session where you're going to be able to have another committee meeting the following week or something like that. But I think that to try and strive to hear everyone's opinion, get as much input as possible, and see where the debate goes from there and the vote goes from there.
All right, fair enough. I like process. I like behind the scenes. You guys are paid to talk about policy. Thanks for indulging me. We'll cut that part out anyway. We'll consider this the start of the show. Rod Bray, your caucus does have an agenda, and being another supermajority, your agenda tends to be a preview of what is enacted into law.
Sure.
Give us an overview quickly of what you hope to walk away with this session.
Well, a couple of quick priorities that we have. We have a hold harmless bill. The House has one as well that is going to hold the accountability piece for the ILEARN exam for the next 2 years. We think that's pretty important to do.
Districts. Teachers, I mean, we had some.
Yeah, for teachers and schools.
We had some disappointing results because in this first.
Right. It's expected. It's a new
right.
test. It's
so now
a, it's a
nobody,
very rigorous
teachers
test.
Don't get knocked for it. Districts.
That's
get.
Correct. Right. And they'll have a little bit of a time to adjust. And I think there's a consensus that that's the right thing to do. So that's an important piece of it. We've got kind of a cash option of a handful of projects that were chosen out of, embedded last year in last year's budget, that we're going to spend cash now as opposed to bonding that. And the opportunity there is to save more than $100 million over the course of what those bonds would have been paid back over, say, 20 years or so. And then the lion's share of our agenda really comes down to health care and costs of health care. We've got a vaping bill, vaping and smoking to age 21, for instance, and we've got several transparency pieces for legislation so people can understand what the costs of their health care are, in the hopes that we bring a little bit of the market economic pressures back in and help reduce those costs.
And Tim Lannon, I think you agree with a few of those in terms of the cost sure. reductions. And in fact, there has been bipartisan support on some of the
yes,
transparency
remarkable.
Issues and so forth.
They're wonderful.
Yeah. And then, unless yeah. anyone be surprised, there are a few issues that wouldn't be agreed upon. Why don't you give us a quick overview of those?
Well, I sort of look at it this way. I mean, a session is what you want to make of it. And so we can sort of look at the short session and say, well, we're not going to do much. We're going to tinker around there, just do this or that. But I would think that one of the things we as a caucus feel we certainly could do, which would be quite an accomplishment, would be to address the teacher pay issue. And for us, it's an issue which is somewhat frustrating because we've been talking about low teacher pay in Indiana for a while. It's sort of come to a crisis stage now. We're hearing from the majority party that, well, it's not a budget year, although we're going to do some things in a budgetary fashion, but not teacher pay. And that's frustrating to us because last year, in a budget session, we had bills to give teacher pay, to really address teacher pay increase. We heard the governor, just a few days ago, basically say, yes, teacher pay, and he basically laid out a plan, which is the same plan that Senate Democrats have put out both last year and this year. But he says, can't do it this year, have to wait till next year. Why is the question in my mind. We could do it.
There's the commission he appointed. Well, it's actually meeting, and this would preempt the commission.
The commission with no teachers on it to determine what should be teacher pay, to me, he laid out the plan. He has a plan to give teacher pay increases. I just can't understand why we just don't go ahead and do it this year, as we very well could do.
I'm going to hold that thought. I'm going to ask that question.
Okay,
so in ways and means, one of the, in fact, it was that I was alluding to the first day when we had 24 bills hurt. One of those was, in fact, it wasn't the budget because there was no budget, but it was some money-related matters. And a member of this gentleman's caucus offered up an amendment that $291 million extra money, rather than paying for bond, using cash for
right.
these university facilities, which had already had been earmarked for bonding dollars. What's wrong with the idea? Why not take, if we already have a great, as Ed Delaney said, we have AAA, another state rep,
sure.
We have this AAA bond rating. It's a golden hen, but it never seems to lay any eggs.
Did you ever get a bonus? a Christmas bonus, for instance?
You've never gotten one.
But okay, for most of the rest of the world has had a one-time bonus, which is exactly what this additional funding is in our state's budget right now. It's one-time surplus. Do you go out and increase your mortgage payment on a personal permanent basis based on that bonus? That's really what the question comes down to. We had a debate about this at a legislative leadership forum, and Tim said, well, we'll figure it out, you know, in the future. We'll figure it out. Well, that means we're going to have to raise taxes in the future. We've done a very exceptional job here over the last 15 years of fiscal discipline, living within our means. We budgeted $763 million for schools in this last budget. Teachers are just now seeing those raises. 99% of teachers, what we know so far, 99% of teachers in Indiana received a raise this
pay cycle. Hold that normally
60%.
Hold that thought. All right, your turn, guys. We're going to get this. Who wants to field this? I mean, and I don't want to devote the whole show to this, but it is important because this certainly is one that...
It's a principal issue. This is a session.
Yeah,
it's worthy.
I first started my talk regarding talking about investing in Hoosier Capital, investing in the folks here in the Hoosier State. And as Tim said, we know about this commission and the results that are going to be coming out next year. But why not take the money now that we have, let's do something with it that we can bridge the gap until this commission makes their recommendations with regards to teacher pay. I've heard about this 99%. I don't know where that's coming from. I talked to a teacher last night who opened up her her big bonus check of $200 for her being rated highly effective. $200 bonus? Are you kidding? I mean, I told her, well, don't spend it all at once. I mean, so I don't know exactly. I've seen this tweet.
Is it a teacher appreciation grant? Is that what she's talking about?
Yeah. And
$35 million we put in that. There's only 40,000 teachers.
Well, I've seen the 99 the tweet that you guys sent out regarding the 99. I don't know where that comes from, and I don't know if this is referendums maybe. It could be other school districts that have thought about, you know, what can we do with regards to Fort Wayne Community Schools, by the way, have decided that we've seen a leveling off of the vouchers. There aren't going to be as many increase, so they've been able to do some increases. So it's not, frankly, had much to do with the General Assembly. It's the school boards that have been able to do that as well with the teacher pay.
And I just want to respond. Brian talked about the mortgage and no plan. No, we have a plan. And the governor had a plan. He laid it out on Monday evening, right, which was the restructuring, if you will, the teacher pensions. And that is a sustainable plan to continue to give pay increases. The problem is, in spite of what we did last year, Indiana teachers still lag behind the rest of the teachers of our surrounding states, and the growth in teacher pay over the last decades has been stagnant. And teachers are leaving. This is a crisis, and we should use this session to deal with it.
That's happening in every state, by the way.
Yeah, but let me say something on that as well. Right. So with regard to the teacher pay issue, I mean, it's a there are maybe 304, 306 school districts across the state. You can probably count on one hand the number of school districts that didn't give teachers a pay in the last 90 days. We don't even know what those pay raises were. So as we talk right now and bring up this issue of teacher pay raises, we haven't even been able to calculate and understand all the teacher pay raises that have happened over the last quarter of 2019. So we don't even know that information yet. Now, it is an important issue. Absolutely. Are we going to continue to talk about it? Absolutely. But and I want to point out a fairly significant distinction between the governor's plan that he announced at the State of the State address and at least the bill that Senator Talian has about what she would do with the teacher pension. Senator Talian's idea is to take $100 million out of the teacher's pension fund, and pay it to current teachers. And if I were a teacher that were retired, I would be pretty concerned about that idea. The governor's idea from the State of the State address is drastically different. It says, let's take $250 million, and then pay down that pension obligation that we have. Exactly. So you're paying it, you're getting rid of more of an obligation instead of taking a bunch out. Senator Talian's idea would add about 6 or 7 more years before we're actually really fully funding that pension. And I think we need to be concerned about
that. So to continue with our mortgage analogy, Senator Talian's is a refinancing to extend the mortgage and take money out now. The governor's is to prepay the mortgage
and
free up $50 million a year to use in the future, starting next year.
Senator Talian has completely looked at what is the long-term effect upon the teacher pension plan. She's worked with NPERS on this, and there's absolutely no jeopardy whatsoever.
Her own numbers say it would extend the time to pay that off by 7 years.
It might be, but it's still fiscally sound, and it allows teachers to get a significant, meaningful teacher pay increase now, which is what we need, because young teachers are leaving this field. Teachers are going to other states where they're paid better than in the state of Indiana. We need to address this issue, and we can't wait another 18 months.
Something is in the pipeline. Everybody, it sounds as if it's a definite. And we should point out to viewers and listeners who don't follow this maybe as closely, that when we talk about 90% of teachers have gotten increases, some didn't, they say, well, they're the ones who gave the increases. We should point out some states, you would be able to say, yes, this is the amount we designated for teacher pay raises. You don't do that. That's not the tradition here, the way this works here.
Local school
boards give the money with the suggestion and the hope that it go.
And the money comes from the legislature.
Right. But will it always, next year, let's assume, and I do want to move on. I'm tired, but not so tired. I'm not going to wrestle you guys to talk about other issues, too. But I know it is important. I mean, are we always going to have that local control next year, budget year, when teachers are going to get that increase? I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
You're never going to depart, are you, from the notion of we're going to give this and we want you to pretty please, school boards, give it to the teachers? Or will we just finally say...
We've been stronger than that. We were much stronger last year and said, look, pretty please, we're watching.
Yeah. And I don't have anybody who's coming to me and saying, get rid of our elected school boards or let's get rid of that collective bargaining. Nobody has suggested to me that they want to do that.
But what they are saying is, please give us the resources. The state now,
which is $763 million,
that's right. But we need to find a way to do that this year.
Right. And the percentage of the greatest percentage of increases of the money to when you talk about this, the millions of dollars going to the schools, the greater percentages went to non-traditional public schools, voucher schools,
which is another issue. Democrats are saying that they
but that's only partially accurate,
less than 1.5%.
They don't receive property taxes. And, yes, they did get an increase in the makeup that we give them, which I think is now $1,000. But that's compared to $4,000 or $5,000 that traditional schools get from local property taxes, which charter schools get zero.
Of course, just to complicate things, if I may, it's not just the amounts, though, you would argue that are problematic. It's that some of the public dollars that are used, that are funneled to schools via vouchers, don't carry with them the same obligations in terms
That's
of
true.
Transparency, There's, accountability, yeah. and admission policies.
We're still trying to catch up from the $300 million that was cut. 2010, 2011, something like that. So basically, the surplus that we like to talk about.
You guys wake up appropriated since
it was
then.
Brian had a donut. I didn't.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's coming through now.
But basically the surplus that you've seen, if you do the math, has been built on the backs of teachers from the public education from the $300 million that was cut.
That can't possibly be. I'm going to go back and do the math on that. That was $300 million that was held by Governor Daniels when the economy tanked. Other states were cutting education by as much as 25% in California. We got back by with a $300 million holdback, and we have appropriated billions of dollars, additional dollars since then, billions. So
are you trying to do an Austin Powers sequel? Because you were millions and billions, and now you're billions.
No, this is billions. Billions of dollars.
And you would understand a Carl Sagan reference, too. Most of my pop culture references are now 30 years out of date, but you would understand.
What's that, Chevette?
all right. I was reminded again with these interviews over with your counterparts that they have other issues of importance. Granted, education's important. It's 52% of state budget.
It is.
Is there anything else that needs to happen this session?
Yes.
For this?
Redistricting reform.
Okay, that's
We've
not happening
about
this session.
We've talked about that. I know, it's not happening this session, which means for the next 10 years, we will have gerrymandered legislative districts.
You want to see it turned over, ideally, to an independent commission. Let's go fast so everybody has a chance to say what they want to do.
And this is the last year to do that.
All right.
Healthcare costs, what can we do about the cost of
So you're going to get your wish. He's not going to get his wish, right? Try to cut down on surprise bills from people when you get out of network providers that you don't realize are out-of-network providers, and you're going to have arm consumers with more information up front.
And let's see what we can do about rising prescription drug costs.
All right. Yeah. What has to happen? Real quick for this session.
Representative Giaquinta and I are on the same page. We're going to try and reduce health care costs, surprise billing, transparency so people can understand what their health care costs are. We think that will give added pressure to bring those back down when everybody can understand them, because today they can't.
Yeah. Now, And would you agree?
We've said them. We've said the important issues. Yeah. We've said the issues that are going to get accomplished in this very short session.
Including redistricting.
Well, I didn't say they all would. Sorry. Everything else we talked about, I think, will come to
terms. We didn't even get to talk about cell phones, hand-free devices, the one that was really good.
Yeah, that's going to be controversial. This governor has
and that's not a Republican-Democratic issue.
No, we have libertarians on both sides that say, we don't want to do that. And, of course, distracted driving is an issue.
It is.
So it'll be an interesting debate.
It will.
And I did hear a threat that if you don't go along with their agenda, they said this might be your last session. So
hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hey, in all seriousness, thank you for being here today. And I've said this before, I think the institution's important, and the leadership's, as I said at the beginning of this session, of this segment, important. People don't appreciate how important Indiana's well served by all, the four of you and those that have come before. I thank you for your work today and throughout the session. Again, and congratulations early
on
the retirement.
Appreciate.
Again, my guests have been Republican Representative Brian Bosma of Indianapolis, Democratic Representative Phil Giaquinto of Fort Wayne, Republican Senator Rod Bray of Martinsville, and Democratic Senator Tim Lannon of Anderson. On the next edition of Indiana Lawmakers, we'll sit down for our annual one-on-one conversation with Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb. And time now for one of my favorite parts of the show, our weekly debrief with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight, a division of Hanna News Service. Ed, welcome back to another season, another session. So education, healthcare, we've got the memo. Those are the talking points. Is that what this session's about, or has it gelled around those two issues?
Oh, absolutely. And there are a lot of nuances here, and we're not just dealing with teacher pay. You're dealing with some other education issues. You're not just dealing with price transparency. There are a few other issues related to cost and monopolies and things like that. But, yeah, those are the two big focus areas. And then I think if you're looking at one other little issue that's going to slip in there, I think that doing something about the unemployment insurance trust fund is going to be something else that'll be on the agenda this year.
It's got to be something. There's always, even though the bill filing deadline's passed, even though we're rapidly approaching the deadline for House of Origin to cross over, there's always something that's, regardless of House and Senate rules, gets in there that gets a lot of attention. What is that going to be?
And we don't know that, and we won't know that necessarily until perhaps even the bills do change and go across the rotunda. But there are so many nuances and so many differences of opinion on the teacher pay thing that's enough to kind of keep them occupied. And you've got Speaker-elect Todd Houston involved in this, too, and Todd Houston was part of the Tony Bennett team at the Department of Education that started to view teachers as state employees that kind of got us down this whole path with the change in property tax funding.
Interesting
too.
Point, since he's going to be speaker or just be speaker designate. Ed Feigenbaum, we'll leave it there, but I appreciate your insight as always. For more information, episode streams, and other extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Chwanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more State House news. Until next week, take care.
Purdue Research Foundation's $1 billion Discovery Park District, where the Convergence Center is merging companies, investors, and entrepreneurs with Purdue innovators to address global challenges and advance life-changing technologies. More at discoverypark district.com.